the word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What is truth? Merely asking the question can make someone wonder about you. You might say, what kind of preacher are you if you don't know what the truth is? Well, don't forget, I'm also a lawyer, sometimes pronounced liar. But in all seriousness, the truth is not so easy to come by. We live in a time when some seem to believe that the truth is whatever's convenient for them. Sometimes it seems that there's no objective standard for truth at all. Even fact checkers seem to make the truth out to be whatever they want it to be. The Babylon Bee, a satirical website, joked that Snopes, a fact-checking website, quote, ranked Joe Biden's statement 2 + 2 = 5 as mostly true. In our Old Testament reading today, God is quoted as saying, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. Adam and Eve ate of the tree. Did they die? Well, they died eventually, but they didn't die immediately. Well, I guess it depends on what you mean by the word die. Now, doesn't that sound like a lawyer? It depends on how you define the word die. What is truth? Speaking of the truth in the Old Testament reading, did you hear Eve's response to Satan? God told us we could not eat of the tree or even touch it, or we would die. Is Eve telling the truth? Is Eve lying? Is Eve merely exaggerating? Did you hear Satan or the serpent? You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Isn't that what really happened? What would fact checkers say? In our New Testament reading, Satan uses factual statements to get Jesus to do his bidding. Satan even quotes scripture to try to convince Jesus to make a wrong choice. Conveniently, determining what is factual may not even help with making the right choice. Sometimes facts can be twisted. Sometimes facts can be used to lead to the wrong conclusion. This is an important point. Both Jesus and Satan quote Scripture. It's important to understand and apply Scripture correctly. Just because Scripture says that God will command angels to bear Jesus up so that he will not dash his foot against a stone does not mean that Jesus should put God to the test. Applying the correct biblical principle at the right time is important. And part of our responsibility as Christians who take Scripture seriously. Now I'm going to say something that sounds really heretical, but listen carefully. Sometimes factual accuracy is not important to determining the truth. Consider this. Does it matter if Jesus' parables described factual events? For example, take the parable of the Good Samaritan. A Pharisee asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Instead of defining the term, Jesus tells a story. A Jew was walking along a road and was robbed and beaten by bandits. He was injured so badly that the bandits left him by the side of the road to die. A Levite, a temple worker, walks by the injured man and does not stop to help. A priest, also a religious official in the temple, walks by and does not help. A Samaritan, a man hated by the Jews like Sunni Muslims hate Shia Muslims, stops and renders aid to the injured Jew. Furthermore, he picks the injured man up, transports him to an inn where he pays the innkeeper to look after the Jew's injuries. Jesus answers the Pharisee, which one of these men was a neighbor to the injured Jew? Does the Pharisee ask Jesus, did this really happen? Would it matter if it had? Does the factual accuracy of this story make any difference in the truth that it conveys? Clearly, the unlikely Samaritan is the one who would be described as being a neighbor to the injured Jew. The story conveys the true meaning of what it means to be a neighbor, even though it probably never factually happened. What is truth? In Hebrew, it's emeth. In Greek, it's aletheia. In Latin, it is veritas. In English, it's defined by Donald McKim in the Westminster Theological Dictionary as, quote, that which accords with reality or is genuine, end quote. In Hebrew, McKim tells us that the emphasis is on the trustworthiness and reliability, supremely God's trustworthiness and reliability. In John 14:6, Jesus tells us that he is the truth. Jesus tells Thomas that he, Jesus, is, quote, the way, the truth, and the life, end quote. No one comes to the Father except through me. He goes on to say, if you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. End quote. The truth Jesus is conveying is that seeing Jesus is seeing God. Jesus is our capital T truth. To understand Jesus is to understand God. The perfect love Jesus displays is the perfect love of God who is love. That is truth. The big T truth. Jesus is the perfect revelation of truth. It is through Jesus we come to understand truth. It is through Jesus that Scripture makes sense. It is through Jesus that the law and the prophets are not abolished, but fulfilled. Because the truth of the revelation of Scripture comes to light in Jesus. So what is truth? It's all well and good to point to Jesus, but how does that translate into living in this difficult world where truth depends on who is spinning it? How do we apply truth to constantly changing facts and alternate facts? How do we live by the truth when sometimes the truth is inconvenient or unpleasant just plain hard. Every year, Merriam-Webster, the dictionary publisher, publishes a list of new words and ranks them according to their influence on the language for that year. In 2006, the second most influential word was Google. The first most influential word was a word coined by the comedian Stephen Colbert. Truthiness. Truthiness. Defined as the quality of preferring concepts or facts one wishes to be true rather than concepts or facts known to be true. A related term is confirmation bias, which is the, quote, tendency to search for, interpret, favor, and recall information in a way that confirms one's pre-existing beliefs or hypotheses, while giving disproportionately less consideration to alternative possibilities. It is human nature to look for evidence that confirms what we already believe. We want to be right. We seek out those who think like us, and we're slow to listen to those who challenge our beliefs. Birds of a feather flock together. We socialize with people who think like us. But what happens when Jesus doesn't think like us? What happens when Jesus tells us to do something that doesn't confirm our bias? What is truth? Jesus is not always truthy, but he is always the truth, the capital T truth. Jesus does not always prefer the concepts or facts we wish to be true. Jesus says inconvenient things like, love your enemy and pray for those who spitefully use you. Jesus is the truth, and the truth is often inconvenient. There's a saying, if the Bible always supports what you believe, you're not reading your Bible correctly. Jesus says hard things. Jesus challenges our cultural norms. Jesus' truth is often hard to hear. David Clay in the magazine Mockingbird wrote the following, but while confirmation bias cannot be cured, it can be mitigated. The mitigation process is admittedly unpleasant, as it involves a willingness to have our cherished ideas about the world challenged, attacked, modified, and sometimes completely trounced. Such willingness is impossible without humility. That's why the opinionated Anglican poet T.S. Eliot realized, quote, the only wisdom we can hope to acquire is the wisdom of humility, end quote. 6 years ago, the New York Times issued an advertisement about truth. That advertisement could have easily been talking about the words of Jesus. Quote, the truth is hard. The truth is hidden. The truth must be pursued. The truth is hard to hear. The truth is rarely simple. The truth isn't so obvious. The truth is necessary. The truth can't be glossed over. The truth has no agenda. The truth can't be manufactured. The truth doesn't take sides. The truth isn't red or blue. The truth is hard to accept. The truth pulls no punches. The truth is powerful. The truth is under attack. The truth is worth defending. The truth requires taking a stand. The truth is more important now than ever. End quote. In the law, truth is arrived at by proof. In civil court, the truth is that which is more probable than not, or what is sometimes said to be a 51% standard. Some civil matters are more important, such as taking away a constitutional right, such as parental rights. And those matters require a stronger standard, sometimes called clear and convincing evidence, or a 75% standard. In the legislature, this might be arrived at by what's known as a supermajority vote. To convict someone of a crime and take away their liberty, the standard of proof is even higher, beyond a reasonable doubt. Notice, even this standard is not beyond all doubt. So as humans, I think we can agree to the universal truth that the truth, capital T, is important. What that truth is and how we arrive at it can be more problematic. As Christians, we can agree to the statement that Jesus is our standard for truth. It is for that reason that we gather together as the body of Christ, seeking God's will for our lives as given to us through Jesus Christ. Together we seek the truth that is revealed to us through Jesus Christ. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us to see that truth. How we apply that truth to our lives is how we answer God's call to each of us and to all of us. The process we call discernment is the process whereby we listen for the Holy Spirit to tell us how to apply the Word of God as revealed to us through Jesus Christ to our lives. By humbly listening to the Holy Spirit, we sort through the facts and alternate facts and truthiness and arrive at the truth, who is Jesus Christ. As a church, we recognize that we need each other to arrive at God's will. As Presbyterians, we have set up committee structures to review facts and make recommendations for actions. We've set up procedures for voting whereby we believe the majority vote is our best way to arrive at God's will for us as a church. As God's people, we need to be aware of the temptation to seek our own interest. We need to avoid the temptation of truthiness. We need to be aware of Satan's clever way of using Scripture to appeal to our confirmation bias. That is, our desire to find support for what we want to believe. May we all be like our Lord and Savior, who when he was tired and hungry, did not give in to easy facts presented to him by Satan, but held fast to the truth. May we all hold fast to Jesus Christ, our truth. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let us say together what we believe using the words from the Confession of 1967 printed in the bulletin. Please stand as you're able.